This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number, 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org to send us an email. We start with the president of Louisiana State University, Tom Galligan. He is, of course, the man who's been in charge since King Alexander hightailed it to Oregon State about 8 months ago. And right now, students have arrived at LSU. The union is open. Dorms are getting occupied, and we'll see what happens. Right now, as we note, 4,384 deaths in Louisiana nationally from COVID-19, 173,143. That's the USA total, highest in the world and about one quarter of the world's cases. Cautious campuses, that's the headline from The Advocate above the fold. And there is the handsome Tom Galligan with a mask on the front page of today's paper in a story written by Mark Ballard. Mark notes that there have been all kinds of efforts made to make the campus as safe as possible. The 16-member LSU Board of Supervisors sat at every other desk in an 80-seat Coates Hall lecture room, for example, trying to get a feel for what it's going to be like to have class and to have students in the COVID age. And good morning to you, Dr. Galligan.
Good morning, Jim. It's great to be with you.
What is your feel for where we are and how safe it will be?
I'm optimistic. I think we have a very good plan, and we've been working on it literally since we went remote in March. And so I feel good, but my feeling good is dependent upon all of us doing the things we have to do to stay healthy, like wearing our masks and washing our hands and sneezing into our elbows and staying as physically distant as we possibly can.
Now, I've been listening to national news programs this morning, as I often do prior to our show, and the stories now all over the country, outbreaks of COVID-19 at college campuses. Obviously, there's going to be some cases. That's inevitable. But what do you do if the worst-case scenario happens? Do you have a contingency plan?
Yeah, we do. And the contingency plan is what we did in March. If the worst-case scenario arises, we will go remote again. We're prepared to put the brakes on and put it in reverse. I hope we don't have to do that. I don't think we'll have to do that. But if, as you say, the worst case scenario arises, that's exactly what we will do.
All right. A listener asks, how many of the classes will actually be held in classrooms?
About a third. It's about a third in classrooms. About a third will be some hybrid, which will be some in class or in person and some online. And it's about a third online.
And will the professors be wearing masks while they're speaking, as you were obviously on the front page of the paper? Is that a requirement?
It is a requirement. The faculty will be wearing masks. They'll be at least 6 feet away from the closest seat. There'll also be a plexiglass shield in every classroom. So there'll be the mask and the shield.
Now, where will the shield be? Will it be between the professor and the students?
It'll basically be by the podium, it's a movable shield. So if the professor were to decide, I don't want to be behind the podium, but I want the shield in front of me, she or he could move the shield. I think it's going to be particularly helpful when students want to ask a question either before or after class. It's an additional barrier or layer of protection. We had initially thought that if we had the plexiglass shields, that the faculty member would not have to wear a mask. But the current CDC guidance on that is that really a face shield or a plastic shield is not an effective replacement for a mask. So now we're going with both.
Now, how tall are the shields? Do you know?
Shields are pretty tall. They're taller than me, but that's not saying much. I would say they're 6.5, 7 feet tall.
All right, but if Shaquille O'Neal is a guest lecturer, we might have to raise the shield for Dr. O'Neal.
I tell you what, yeah, you and I were together a while ago at a celebration before we retired Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's number, and I was the shortest person in the room that night with all the former basketball players, so we would need taller shields for that group.
Well, but you didn't feel inferior because you're in great shape. You're a marathon runner, aren't you?
Well, I was a marathon runner. I haven't done a marathon in a few years, but I still get out there and shuffle and walk around and, you know, do my best to get my heart rate moving.
Well, and being in shape is important. And in this COVID age, really, we're in an uncertain world. But having these kids on campus moving around may be a good thing in some cases. But if you have, like, sorority houses and dormitories that are full of students in close proximity, how do you avoid a catastrophe if somebody has coronavirus?
Well, I think you, one is no room will have more than two students in it. So, you know, we have some rooms that have four and three. Those are all going to be doubles this year. So the other is, and I was in the residence halls on Saturday greeting folks. You walk in one direction, you walk out in another direction. Our residence life folks have done a fabulous job of moving furniture and physically distancing furniture. And I think it's also just constantly reminding our students and one another, hey, you know, keep the mask on, be sensible, be smart, It's behavioral. And on Saturday on campus, I did not see anyone who did not have a mask on, and that made me feel great.
Even outdoors?
Even outdoors. Even people moving in. Somebody might have gotten out of a car without a mask, but they put the mask on right away. They behaved. It was fantastic.
But, of course, when you're eating, you can't eat with a mask on very well. So what about dining halls? Are they open?
They're open. They'll have limited seating. They'll have a lot of grab-and-go options. So people who, you know, don't feel comfortable sitting down and eating. But, again, it's don't sit too close together and limit the space and be careful.
And the water fountains are out of service right now, right?
The water fountains are out of service. They have these very neat, I call it a device, but what it really is it's a plastic cup that has been secured over the spout so that the water fountain cannot be used. You know, we'll keep our eye on those just in case some of those cups should disappear. We'll replace them. But, yeah, the water fountains are out of commission.
All right. A listener asked about the rec center. Is it open?
The rec center is open. There's limited capacity, again, in the rec center. Machines are more widely spaced than they have been spaced before, and there's cleaning going on everywhere regularly.
All right. Well, we wouldn't want to waste an $85 million facility that is quite beautiful and functional and is good for people's health. And Tom Galligan, you've been involved in various controversies, not of your making, and one of them is this controversy that is swirling about names on campus. We've seen the Middleton name removed from the LSU library, and you have formed a committee of people to review names on campus. How is this working out?
There's 16 folks on the committee, faculty, staff, and students, and they will review our campus names on buildings as suggested by folks. Over the next couple of months, and then they will, any recommendations that group makes will come to the standing building committee, which is usually more concerned with putting names on, but it'll go to the standing building committee, and then it'll go to the provost, to me, and then on to the whole board. And the board instructed me to form this committee over the summer, and so we've put it together as we return to school.
And college football is slated to open September 26th. The Tigers.
College football.
Yeah.
Yep. College football is slated to open September 26th. I think we're going to learn what the schedules are this afternoon and tonight. going to talk to Katie O'Neill, Dr. O'Neill, on this show as well, and she can tell you about all the preparations that the Southeast Conference has gone through and the NCAA has gone through in terms of return to activity. There's a medical guidance task force that she's a member of. They've been working hard throughout the summer, and I think we really made a good – we, the SEC, made a good decision, the athletic directors and the presidents, when we decided, look, let's push restart on this. Start on September 26th, not September 5th. So that's given us a lot more time to continue to learn and monitor.
40 days away, 40 days from college football. The defending national champions from Louisiana State University will be playing somebody, perhaps in Tiger Stadium. We have another segment with President Thomas Galligan when we return in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and our guest for another segment is President Thomas Galligan of Louisiana State University. Much going on in his world. 877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. Thomas Galligan was head of the law school and then moved over to the main campus when King Alexander left the university at the end of 2019, and Thomas Galligan never knew that he was going to be dealing with a pandemic, but he is, and he is, like Hubert Humphrey, the great LSU graduate, a happy warrior. And I think it goes without saying that you'd like to keep the job you have. Is that correct?
Well, I you know, Tim, I'm willing to keep it as long as I'm needed to keep it. That's not up to me. I'm having a good time, but I love that law center, and I spent 12 years here teaching and came back, left and wandered in the field, I say, and came back in 2016 to get back to that LSU Law Center. So someday I want to get back to the Law Center.
Well, a listener also notes that you're a mountain climber. Is that correct? In addition to being
really a mountain climber at all. I've climbed Mount Whitney. I've tried to climb Mount Rainier a couple of times. I just got involved with some friends who convinced me I wanted to climb mountains. And once I got to the top of Mount Whitney, I decided that's enough mountains for me.
I love that. And LSU is a relatively flat campus, as we know, but there are mountains to climb figuratively on the campus, as we know. And you've got a board to deal with, and the board had a meeting Friday. They went into executive session, and I think it's fairly apparent that they're talking about what happens next with the university and with the leadership. And there is some sentiment on the board to splitting the jobs of president and chancellor. And I know one of the ideas is to make Jay Darden the president and you the chancellor. Could you live with that?
That is totally, totally up to the board. So I like Jay Darden a lot. I work well with Jay Darden. But, again, totally a board decision.
So you're going to be a good warrior and wait and see. Is that accurate?
I'm going to be a good warrior. I'm going to wait and see. Yes.
Okay.
And I would say this, Jim, the board is a wonderful group of people to work with, and they have been incredibly supportive throughout this this 8-month adventure.
Rebecca asks about the jobs of chancellor and president, which are now consolidated into the role of president, which you hold. Is it really too big of a job for one person?
I don't think it is. I think that it is to be the president and to be the chief officer of the Baton Rouge campus does a couple of things. One is it gives the president great credibility when dealing with the other campuses because the president is also in charge of a campus. So I think that that's very important. It also, combining them, deals with the potential for, let's use the word rivalry, between a president working and living in Baton Rouge and a chancellor working and living in Baton Rouge, and the chancellor is in charge of the biggest institution in the state and certainly in the LSU family. I also think that, at least for me, it has not been too big a job because I am surrounded by wonderful people, both in the president's office and on the Baton Rouge campus. Stacey Haney, Dan Lysel, are fantastic folks. And so at this point in our time, we have a really strong provost. We have a really strong executive vice president of finance and administration. So I think that really helps make both jobs be doable.
All right. Zach asks if football starts on the 26th of September in 40 days. Will there be fans, and how many if there are? What's the plan on this front?
Zach, that is a great question. There are several contingency plans that, depending on the health of the state, what the governor feels is safe, what we feel is safe, and we're having conversations about mm-hmm. those plans now. Whether it's 50%, whether it's 25%, whether that changes over the course of the season. The wonderful thing about football is it's outside. And we know that this virus does not survive as well outside as it does inside. So football's outside. The challenges are getting from outside the stadium to inside the stadium. So ingress, egress, concessions, the suite levels. So those are all factors that we are looking at, and the athletic department is looking at in determining what's the best and safest plan for having fans. Because obviously we would love to have fans. It's important to the players. It's important to the community. It's important to our culture. But we're only going to do it if we can do it safely. And I'll add a footnote to that. Mm-hmm. And the footnote is not just ingress and egress, but also tailgating.
That was the next question from a listener. Yeah, what about
tailgating? Okay. They go hand in hand. How do we or can we manage tailgating and stay as physically distant as we can? And I think if we do have fans, at some point, what we're going to encourage a lot of folks to do is, I don't know how, we have, I would say, 10 to 50,000, depending on the game.
People easily, come to camp. Easily. Easily,
well,
50,000.
I'm thinking, Jim, of people who don't even go in the stadium. You know, the folks who come
right.
to enjoy the festivities. And so if we can have fans, we're probably going to urge a lot of the people who don't have tickets to the game to not come to campus.
Jim on Highland. Jim, you're on the air with President Galligan. Hi, Jim.
Yes, that answered my question, but I think it's wonderful the way that the board and the president have shouldered the responsibility during this virus to provide education, but mainly to provide safety for the LSU student body. And I think that's something we all need to keep in mind.
All right. The president has done everything he can, and I'm sure you're thinking right now, did I miss anything?
Jim, we keep safety first. Safety is the guidepost. And yes, we're always thinking, did we miss anything? What did we miss? And that's one of the great things about the open fora we've had and the town halls we've had. We've gotten thousands of questions. We're going to do another one this week, and we try to answer all of them. But, you know, we don't always get to all of them. We try to get a response back. But my point was, I digress. My point was, somebody asked a question. Sometimes we didn't think of it. So that's a really good thing because, what about this? Or what about that? So, yes, I'm constantly asking myself, what did I forget about?
As I was walking the campus yesterday, I noticed a sign that's at the infirmary, the student health center, saying COVID-19 patients this way. So obviously you don't want kids who may have coronavirus in the waiting room with others. But and you know how it works. It's tough on a college campus, even when you're taking all these precautions.
It's tough anywhere, even when you're taking these precautions. But we know, we looked at it in April and May, and now we're seeing it again. As we take the precautions, the numbers come down. As we let our guard down, the numbers go back up. So we've just got to keep doing these things. And I said the other day, what we got to do is just don't do dumb stuff.
Well, we'll be back to wrap it up with Tom Galligan, president of LSU, and we'll also hear from Senator Cleo Fields and Dr. Katie O'Neill, the infectious disease expert of experts in Louisiana, their thoughts about prep football, slated to start October 8th. And, of course, Katie O'Neill has been following the SEC. Back after this pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. Please, you're listening to Talk Louisiana, and in just a moment we'll hear from Senator Cleo Fields and the infectious disease authority of our state, Dr. Katie O'Neill. They're on deck, but we're finishing up with President Tom Galligan of LSU, and I didn't want to let Ashley at LSU go. She's been waiting patiently. Ashley, you're on the air with President Tom Galligan. Good morning to you.
Okay. Hi. Actually, I'm not at LSU. I live in the neighborhood, though. And while I respect everything that President Galligan's done to help at LSU, I'm a parent who is looking at my children leaving for Dartmouth and Tufts, where they'll have 3 asymptomatic tests in order to leave their quarantine. I'm looking at students of mine leave for Notre Dame, leave for Barnard, and other schools, and they're all taking leave for Fordham, and they're all having to take negative tests, at least 3 of them, in order to be able to go on campus, and then they have to have 2 negative tests per week. And I am very concerned, given the outbreak at UNC, where they did not do check-in testing, as LSU is not doing. They already have 4 COVID clusters in the residence halls. I'm thinking about the fact that that Episcopal had to shut down.
All right. What are your thoughts about whether you could have done more testing in particular? You've got a much larger student body population, but is this really feasible to be testing everybody on campus on a regular basis?
Yeah, we decided that it was not feasible to test everybody on a regular basis, that we'll have tests available for the folks who are symptomatic or who are recommended to be tested. The test is obviously very, very helpful, but it's just a snapshot. And so we made the decision not to require testing. I know there are other schools that have. I actually have 2 children who went to Dartmouth. So Ashley and I have we have similarity there.
All right. Well, Dr. Galligan, we look forward to visiting with you again. Pleased that you're starting the week with us. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Have a great day.
You too. And thank you, Ashley, for your good call.